News for Health presents To Your Good Health Radio. Here are Melanie Cole, MS, and Dr. David Friedman.
20 states have passed laws allowing the sale of medical and recreational marijuana. Our next guest is the director for the National Cannabis Industry Association, the only national trade association representing businesses in the legal marijuana industry. They focus directly on federal issues that affect marijuana businesses like banking and taxation. Welcome to the show, Taylor West. Here's Dr. David Friedman.
Taylor, great to have you on the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Great. Now, before we delve into the business aspect of marijuana, there's some confusion about what legalized marijuana entails. Are there usage restrictions, or can pretty much anyone in these states that have legalized it go into a store and buy the herb?
At this point, the two states that have legalized adult use, meaning you don't have to have a prescription to access it, both require purchase to be over the age of 21. And there are amount limits that you can buy at a time, and typically there are consumption limits. So, for instance, in Colorado, consuming in public is still not allowed. So you, if you are over the age of 21, you can go into a retail operation, purchase cannabis in various forms, and consume it in the privacy of your home.
Right. Now, you know, there's so many healing properties from the marijuana leaf. However, there are no health benefits of smoking tobacco leaf. Why, in your opinion, has there been such resistance in the legalization of marijuana till now?
You know, it really dates back for decades now to federal policies that were kind of rooted in that reefer madness era where people really didn't understand the effects of cannabis on the body. Cannabis has been scheduled as a Schedule I drug at the federal level, which means that the federal government does not acknowledge any medical properties whatsoever. And that has made it difficult for researchers in the U.S. to even do research on the potential health benefits of cannabis. Schedule I drugs are extremely limited in terms of researchers' access to them and their ability to get any sort of grant funding to complete that research.
So why then, you know, is the production, sale, and possession still considered illegal under federal law since obviously the gates are opening?
Sure. You know, under federal law, those things are still considered illegal because the laws have not changed. By having marijuana scheduled as a Schedule I drug, it forbids any sort of legal production and sale. What we're seeing is that the people in the United States are actually leading the elected officials on this issue. So you're seeing states where referendums can be held legalizing either adult use marijuana or, in 20 states, medical marijuana, because people are much more open to understanding the health benefits. Meanwhile, politicians are still afraid of being tagged as somehow soft on drugs or soft on crime.
Yeah, you bring up such a good point, because I'm still astonished by all the great research out there, the healing properties of marijuana. We just don't hear about it in the media. Instead, we hear about this legislation side of the herb. As you mentioned, it's because there's a muffle on their mouth, right? Because it's still considered an illegal, you know, drug in some aspect, correct?
Absolutely. And it's a real tragedy because the research that has been done on the effects of cannabis are incredibly promising. You know, you know most people have heard about things like its ability to stimulate appetite in patients that have cancer or HIV, or, you know, reducing nausea, those sorts of things. But there's also an enormous amount of promise in the possibility that cannabis can have actual cancer preventative qualities, as well as neuroprotective qualities, things that can help slow or stop the progress of something like Alzheimer's disease or Parkinson's. But again, because of the federal treatment of this drug as a Schedule I, which includes other drugs like heroin, it's made it very difficult for scientists to do the kind of research that could actually develop some pretty enormous breakthroughs.
Yeah,
hey, Dr.
Hopefully that's going to change.
Can I jump in a second?
Uh-huh, go ahead. Yeah, sure.
Because I'm hoping that this does change. A good friend of mine with pancreatic cancer, Taylor, is only now, I mean, he has gained weight back after his Whipple. It's amazing. nothing that Compazine or any of those other drugs could help him. But when he got his cannabis, he was able to. And my mother, the same with shingles. It was the only thing that helped her with her pain in shingles. So, I mean, I applaud your efforts. What do you want the communities and the people in these states to do? How can we get involved?
Well, you can, in states that have medical marijuana programs, obviously you want to be supportive of efforts that continue to open up more access for patients. So in some states, they have a medical marijuana program, but the limitations on who can participate are so strict that it's really limiting the number of patients who are able to benefit from them. And in states where there is no medical program, you know, this is the time to really start pressing your representatives to do something about that. The support for medical marijuana is at incredibly high levels right now. We're talking 75-80% nationally. So this, again, as I said earlier, this is really an issue where people are leading their elected officials, and it's important that the elected officials hear from people to understand that they aren't going to be punished for supporting this, that this is an incredibly popular and potentially beneficial policy reform. And, right. You know, we have seen an incredible change in the last several years in that public opinion, and the more noise we make about that, the more likely we are to see policy changes even at the federal level.
Right. Isn't there some recent laws that just passed that's allowing banks to finally work with businesses that sell marijuana? Tell us about that.
We are starting to see some opening up of that. This has been a huge issue for the industry, both medical and adult use. These businesses have not been able to access banking services because banking is regulated at the federal level. Just this week, or actually at the very end of last week, the Department of Justice and the Department of Treasury released some memos in which they laid out a path for banks to provide services to these businesses without being potentially in danger of being prosecuted for money laundering or aiding in the commission of a federal crime. That guidance is a good first step, and it does potentially open the door. However, for a permanent fix for these businesses so that they don't have to operate entirely in cash, we need an act of Congress, and that there is a bill in Congress right now that would do that, and the challenge is to get Congress to act on anything, really, including that bill.
Yeah, Taylor, wouldn't it, because it's a cash business, target thieves? I mean, that seems like
absolutely.
That's
it is an extreme security issue for anyone working in the industry, because not only are they having to do all of their sales in cash, they're also having to do all of their back-end work in cash. That means payroll and paying their taxes, paying their utility bills, which are often in the tens of thousands of dollars a month. So it is a huge issue for any employees that are having to transport that cash. And it also makes accounting and things like that difficult. So it has been the number one business issue for our members, and we're continuing to push. It's great that we're seeing movement on it right now at the federal level, and we just need to keep that momentum going.
That's great. And you brought an important word up, taxes. It seems like, you know, that states would pull in more tax dollars. So this makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
As well.
You know, we're here in Colorado, where I'm based, the governor just announced that they're budgeting with an expectation of taking in $100 million in sales taxes on adult use marijuana this year.
Wow.
So that's an enormous contribution to the general fund. And, you know, gives another reason for the state to see this as a beneficial thing. That said, it's always important for us to recognize that medical marijuana is about treating patients and making their lives better in a way that other options don't. So as great as it is to have the benefits of tax dollars, we never want to forget.
Well, I'm so sorry that we're out of time now. And to learn more about the National Cannabis Industry Association and stay up to date with all the latest legislation, industry news, and research, you can visit thecannabisindustry.org. That's thecannabisindustry.org. This is Melanie Cole with Dr. David Friedman. Stay well.